We're going to read some verses from the book of Zechariah. That's the second book from the end of the Old Testament. The last book is Malachi. We're turning back to the one that lies in front of Malachi, the book of Zechariah. We're going to read, first of all, from chapter 13 of that book. Nice to be with you once again, boys and girls and teachers. I trust the Lord will bless us. I'll try to keep proper time today. Although I did hear on Friday night how much some of the boys enjoyed the assemblies, because it eat up some of the time of the next class, and so they avoided whatever it is that's coming next for them. Now, I had higher hopes for them that they might have enjoyed it for other reasons, but however, at least we're accomplishing something in making them happy for that reason. But I want to just say this before we start. Were you ever in a shop, in the supermarket, in a bus queue, or somewhere there's a crowd, and maybe standing in front of you two ladies or two men, and they're talking away, and you can't help but hear? You're not really interested in what they're saying, because they're talking about something that's of interest to them, and to them alone. And you hear these words, and you just dismiss them from your mind, and you look round you for something else to center your mind and your thoughts upon. You're not interested in their conversation. When we study the Bible, we're listening into a conversation between the Lord and His people. And if you're not one of the Lord's people, you're not interested. You're not interested in that sort of conversation. But if you're one of the Lord's people, then you're all ears to catch every word, because that conversation is about that which you're interested in. So I hope that as you come to the Bible studies, to the preaching on the Lord's Day, that there will be that interest within your heart in what is being said, because you're saved. Right then, let's turn to Zechariah, the chapter 13. We're just going to read two verses. Chapter 13 of Zechariah, and it's the verses 8 and 9, the last two verses of the chapter. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die." Now, the land of Israel. So we're talking about Israelites. And God says, two parts shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Two-thirds of the people of the land shall die. That's what the Lord is saying. "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." I hope you've taken in every wee word that's in those two verses. Very important. Now turn back. Chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 9. And listen, what we're about to read explains what it is we have just read. All right, verse 9 of chapter 12. "And it shall come to pass in that day." I've got to mention that when you're reading your Bible, particularly this chapter. Though in many places you find this same phrase, "that day." God is indicating very clearly that the events He is referring to take place on a certain day. And if you go back up that chapter, you will find in the verse 8, "that day." You will find in the verse 6, "that day." You will find in the verse 4, "that day." You will find in the verse 3, "that day." This is a wonderful day. And here are all the things that will be taking place in that day. In that day. It's the day of the Lord's return. Oh, boys and girls, I know you look forward to the last day of term, and soon there'll be one coming up, because there's always a bit of relaxing and maybe even a bit of a party. And we look forward to that. because parties are so much more fun than maths and English and French and whatever. That's true. No matter how teachers feel it shouldn't be, it's true. And if you were able to know what the teachers were like at school, you would see they've changed their views on parties and English and French and maths, etc., because they thought parties were far better back then as well. This day is a day of glorious events, boys and girls. I never read a chapter like this without being thrilled at seeing what's going to happen on that day. It makes me long for that day, because praise God, I'm going to be there. Will you? Maybe you're not so sure. Well, if you're saved, let me tell you, you'll be there. Because if you're saved, and these events don't happen in your lifetime, you'll be in heaven and you'll come with the Lord. And you'll see all these things taking place on that day. And if this day comes during your lifetime, you'll still be there. Because when the Lord comes, you will be lifted from wherever you are. If you're still in Kilskerry, you will be lifted from Kilskerry and wonderfully carried to Jerusalem to meet the Lord in the air above Jerusalem and come down with him and all the other saints. And you will be there to see all these things happening. Oh, what an exciting day. Well, here's one of the things that's going to happen on that day. Verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. A broken-hearted spirit is here upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Those, as we read just in the chapter 13, those who have come through the fire, those one-third that have survived the trouble, they it is upon whom God pours out His Spirit, resulting in this wonderful humbling of them, this repenting, as they see Him whom they pierced. They'll see the Lord Jesus. They'll remember that it was their forefathers who crucified Him at Calvary, and they'll mourn. This, boys and girls, is the reconciliation between God and His ancient people after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of separation. This is the return of Israel unto God. That's what you're reading about here. Verse 11, and in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadarimim in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. On that day, the whole population that remains in Jerusalem will break up into little family groups, and they'll begin to think of how they have sinned against God, and with broken hearts they will weep before the Lord. This is their conversion. This is their conversion. Let me remind you that last time we were talking, we started a new section, as it were. We are looking, remember, at those things happening in Jerusalem that will indicate to us that the Lord is soon to return to this world. We saw a little while ago the ministry of the two witnesses, the two men, whose ministry will be so like the great prophets of the past, and they'll work miracles just like the prophets of the past, and bring down plagues upon their enemies, just like the prophets of the past. You'll not be able to miss that when it's happening. It'll be world news. Now, going a little further, looking at that same period of time, but at another set of circumstances that are taking place, the attack of Antichrist upon the city of Jerusalem. You can read about that attack here in the book of Zechariah, in the chapter 12 and in the chapter 14, the opening verses of those two chapters. Antichrist and the nations that support him are going to send armies, and they're going to gather around Jerusalem, determined to destroy it. They will attack it, and in that attack, they will be successful. They'll overthrow the city, they'll have their way, and Antichrist will begin a cruel regime within that city. This we were looking at. And we were comparing what happened back in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, and seeing how that what happened back then was a preview of what is going to happen again in the future when Antichrist will attack Jerusalem. I told you the last time we were talking that God is pleased to give us these little pictures in the Bible of future events. Little foreshadowings. Little paintings, as it were, that help us to understand what's going to happen in the future. I talked about David. Do you remember how David came to the camp of Israel and confronted Goliath and slew Goliath and turned the whole tide of affairs? Suddenly they who were downtrodden by Goliath and the Philistines were touched and made into a victorious army who charged the Philistines and overthrew them. And I pointed out to you that happened on David's second visit to Israel. It's going to happen again. The Lord Jesus has been once, but he's going to come back. Just like David. David came back on his father's command, bringing greetings from his father to his sons. The Lord Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to bring greetings from the Heavenly Father to the nation of Israel. Friendly greetings, for it's going to result not only in the overthrow of Antichrist, but it's going to result in the conversion of Israel. So, this is what we looked at last time we were together. Now, I want to just say that when Antichrist attacks Jerusalem, and we can read about the overthrow of it and the taking away of members of the city, citizens of the city, into captivity, that's the beginning of what the Bible talks about as the Great Tribulation. Great Tribulation. Now, again, there was a preview of that in what happened back in AD 70. And history tells us that when the Romans overthrew the city of Jerusalem, they took the people of the city that remained. There were over 1 million Jews killed in the city. But what remained, they took them and they sold them as slaves. They were taken away and sold off as slaves among the Gentile nations. And they've been downtrodden ever since. They were trodden down, the Lord tells us, in Luke chapter 21, they would be trodden down after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem under the feet of the Gentiles. And that's how it has been. You find Jews in Ireland. How did they get here? Their forefathers, driven out of their own land, scattered throughout Europe. And everywhere they went, they were trodden underfoot. They were persecuted. Indeed, they're still being persecuted. If you follow newspaper headlines, you'll see constantly concerns about attacks upon Jews, Jewish property, Jewish individuals. Still happening. The hatred for the Jew among the Gentile nations. Well, we're told that after Antichrist attacks the city, there's going to begin what is called the Great Tribulation. They have been in tribulation ever since AD 70. But there is going to be an intensified period of tribulation. An intensified period of tribulation. That's how we know, I might say, that in Luke chapter 21, the trouble that will come upon the Jews there is not the Great Tribulation that the Lord Jesus speaks about as taking place just before his return. for the simple reason that the tribulation that began in AD 70 when Rome overthrew Jerusalem was a tribulation that lasted for nearly 2,000 years. Whereas the Great Tribulation is only going to last for a comparatively short time. Comparatively short time. Now, perhaps I should just show you where we can be sure of that. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, do you remember? That's a great chapter on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A chapter in which he gives so much information as to the events that will surround his return. Now, he tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Flight. That's an important word there in that last verse. Pray ye that your flight, when this abomination of desolation is set up in the temple, the image of the Antichrist, every Jew who would heed what God said was to flee. Not even pack a suitcase. Now, quite literally, not pack a suitcase, but run. Get out of the city, because the attack upon the people is about to begin. The great tribulation is about to begin. Now look at the next verse. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now again, the Lord is not talking about AD 70, because the tribulation of the Jews that began in AD 70 has lasted 2,000 years. But this tribulation, which is the great intensified tribulation, is going to be shortened by God. Otherwise, nobody would survive. Nobody would survive. We read Zechariah 13. Where the Lord talked about one third of the people coming through the fire. He would save one third. He would try them as gold is tried in the fire, as silver is purified in the fire. You know, if you're a goldsmith or a silversmith and you're purifying metal, removing from it all the dross, you would put it in the fire, but you would have to keep a close eye on it. Because if you left it in the fire too long, it would just burn away. The fire would just burn it away. So you have to keep a close eye on it and watch until it has reached that point where the impurities are gone. But the gold has not yet, or the silver has not yet been harmed by the fire, and you can take it out and you have pure gold, pure silver, unharmed, but purified by the fire. And that's what God is saying here. When that time of persecution begins, the great tribulation, I'll keep an eye on my people, and I'll shorten that time so that the elect, those chosen of God, will be saved. Will be saved. So boys and girls, this great attack upon Jerusalem in the future, led by Antichrist, will herald the beginning of the great tribulation. But the purpose under God of that great tribulation is to purify a people for himself. Oh, there will be Jews slain, but one third will be preserved. That's what God says. That's what God says. Oh, may he give you understanding of these things, and understanding them, may you wonder and rejoice at the great wisdom, mercy, and grace of God. We'll leave it there. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, how we thank thee, thou hast all things planned and purposed, and that will come to pass, Lord. For, O God, thou wilt keep a close eye on events, and thou wilt see that that which thou hast purposed will be accomplished. Bless the boys and the girls. Give them understanding of these things, we ask, and grant that they might have confidence in God, that He is on the throne and governing the affairs of the nations to His own glory. Hear us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.